Ramsey TV.
Somebody made a comment on my video, I think it was yesterday, says that Martin Zender, you're skinny. Why? That's not exactly a compliment. By the way, I'm not skinny, okay? Do I have to prove it to you? No, I'm not going to prove it to you. I weigh 175 pounds. Most people are shocked when they hear that. It's all muscle, people. It's all muscle. I'm a force to be reckoned with. Yes, I am. But today, I just want to be a force to be reckoned with in the scriptures. That's what I'm here for, broadcasting from my office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Happy to have you with me as always. Before I get down to business today, and it's not going to be the business you expected today, because I got a really good question this morning concerning the what is a believer topic. Some people are still confused about this. It's so important that I might have to delay by a day talking about how to spoil the kiddies and the wife. Okay, so bear with me on that. But first of all, did you know that one of our fellow believers wrote a song that I inspired? Yes, one of our fellow viewers. He comments here frequently. Name is Lazarus Ominous. Yeah, I guess his mother named him Lazarus, and his last name was Ominous. He can't help it. But he wrote a song that apparently I inspired. It's a great song. I love it. So I'm going to link you to it right down here. It's called Ooh, Ooh, Ooh. And he said, I inspired it because I think I must do that. I must, ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't know. I think maybe I do. Oh, by the way, I've really been thinking about this. I don't know if I'll do this. Somebody stop me. I was thinking about having a contest, an Imitate Martin Zender contest, because I would laugh my head off. I love kind of being made fun of that way. Just somebody like imitating me, because I have no idea of my own mannerisms. The only one time somebody imitated me and I just died laughing. It happened like 25 years ago. And this guy just started doing this stuff and it was so mean. I just cracked up. I was thinking of having a contest, Imitate Martin Zender contest, and the winner gets a trip to Florida to meet Martin Zender. Seriously. And I talked to my friends and they said, yeah, we'll pitch in to help the prize winner come to Florida. I'm still thinking about this. Let me know what you think. You know, everybody's like, the people who want to enter the contest, send in a 30-second clip or something. I need entertainment. I mean, that's, to me, that would be hilarious. Okay, so Lazarus Ominous wrote a song called Ooh, 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 and it's linked down here. Thank you for that song. I'm happy to have inspired it. Now, here's the question on YouTube. What is a believer? It's a very important topic. Go to my video the other day, What is a Believer? And then there's a link under there that goes to a video I made 21 years ago, an audio actually, and our friend Rodney Paris made it into a video. For some reason, it's a very controversial topic. It shouldn't be, because it simply states that there are certain things that members of the body of Christ will believe. Somebody asked me today, this was an interesting question, Martin, are you sure that this is not about doing things? Are you sure that these gospels aren't for people who act righteously? The first sin in the garden was not believing God. God doesn't like to not be believed. Let me state that positively. God loves to be believed. And the first sin in the garden was Eve did not believe God because Satan cast doubt on what God said. And so the remedy for that is to believe God. God loves to be believed. Therefore, the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision have to do with believing things, certain things, very certain things. But again, I'm not one to put the cart before the horse. So it's not that belief is a requirement for salvation. Again, it's that those who are designated beforehand for membership either in the body of Christ or the Bride of the Lambkin, the Israel company, they will sometime during their life come into truth. They will believe truth, not falsehood. This question is from a man who simply calls himself Notes. Okay, I'll go with that. Notes says this. So people like Corum, Knock, Luther, Huff, Origen, Jukes, Gelasnoff, Lowdy, Wycliffe, Tyndale, Huss, and many more were all wrong and unbelievers because they do not agree with your exact definitions of the human will, the being of Christ, and the state of death? A lot of people simply believe that they are failing, unrighteous, dying sinners, and that the only way they could ever be saved or brought back to God is through the work of Christ. They don't have detailed understanding regarding the human will. They don't wrestle with all the metaphysical abstract complexities regarding human volition. All they know is that they do things and that they make choices. They acknowledge their sin. Some people trust in their own righteousness and some people do not, but both groups may be very similar and limited in their musings when it comes to the human will and with all of the philosophical intricacies. The philosophical intricacies. Ooh, I like that. Also, this Trinity issue is not as cut and dried as you make it out to be. It is. I'm going to explain it. Yes, it is. It is as cut and dried as I make it out to be. Shh. Okay, I'm going to get to that. There have been many believers, Jukes, for an example, Andrew Jukes, he speaks of the author of The Restitution of All Things and other books, wrote in the late 1800s. There have been many believers all down through the centuries who debated amongst themselves regarding the exact nature and being of Christ. A lot of it, Christ's being, really is mysterious to us. Well, not really. Okay, I'm going to get to that. Aaron Welch says Christ did not exist until he came out of Mary's womb. I'm aware of that. I refuted that teaching. It's ridiculous. One of the most ridiculous teachings I have ever heard. That Jesus Christ did not exist until he came out of his mommy's belly. What? Then how are all things created in him? Anyway, not going to get into that topic. Does that mean Aaron is an unbeliever? No, it doesn't mean Aaron is an unbeliever, because Aaron believes Christ died. That's the essential teaching. Most of us believe Christ existed before the world began. Good. But what does that even mean? It means what it says. But anyway, did he have a body? Of course. Is he part God and part human? Yes. Many of these things are way above our comprehension. No, I just comprehended it. When you're a baby, you're part mommy, part daddy. Your mommy, daddy get together, they have a baby. That's you. That's not hard to comprehend. God birthed the Son out of his being, and that Son was conceived on earth via a human mother. So it's a hybrid, part God, part humanity. It's not hard to understand. If you made a cocker spaniel with a poodle, you get a spoodle or something like that. It's not way above our comprehension. I continue with a letter. And I'm going to answer all these things, and you're going to love it. It's going to make sense to you because I make sense for a living. Yes, I am against many of the extreme Trinity dogmas, but again, there are many people who are simply in awe of the Son of God, and they just really don't know what kind of language to use to describe his being. I realize there are many Christians that go about to establish their own righteousness. Yeah, that's the killer. But I think there are many Christians who simply acknowledge that they are dying unrighteous sinners and that Christ is the great Savior. Well, but they don't really believe that if they believe they're establishing their own righteousness. That's what saves them, not Christ the great Savior. Pretty simple. That's all they know. Then they're in big trouble. They're confused, yes, and as I said in the video, confusion is deadly. That's Satan's number one tool. Confused people die for the eons. Why? They're confused. They don't know the truth. Because they believe their traditions. Do you know why they're confused? This is why they're confused. They're confused because they've been taught traditions about God and Christ. For instance, that Christ is God, part of a Trinity. Then they hear somebody like me or you saying that Jesus Christ died and they're confused. What's confusing? This is what's confusing. Trying to marry, trying to meld that Jesus Christ died with Jesus Christ is God. The confusion lies in wrecking the simple truth of the death of Christ with the tradition, the false teaching that Jesus Christ is God absolute. He's not. He's the Son of God. They're confused as to how to exactly describe his being. They don't have to know everything about his being or how to exactly describe it. They don't have to. And pre-existence and so on. The pre-existence of Christ is a great, this is me now, the pre-existence of Christ is a great truth. That he didn't pre-exist is a huge slap in the face to one of his greatest glories. Okay, but it's not essential teaching when it comes to the evangel, when it comes to the body of Christ. The essential teaching is the death of Christ. So whether you believe he didn't even exist, or whether you believe, as the scriptures state, that all things came through him and not one thing that came into being did not come into being through him, and that he is before all, the firstborn of all creation. He spoke of having a glory with his Father before the world was. I mean, it's just incredible to me how anybody can even think that Jesus Christ did not pre-exist. But the important thing is that he died. That's not me, it's Paul. The gospel is Christ died for our sins, was entombed, raised the third day. The writer continues, known as Notes. The writer known as Notes. This is a good question. I'm not belittling this person in any way. These are great questions. It's very well written, by the way. Very well composed. Notes. I don't know who you are, but very to the point here. Should we be labeling people unbelievers just because they don't have a detailed scientific / ontological understanding of the state of death? I can't help but comment on this. You don't need a scientific / ontological understanding of the state of death when you go to a funeral home. All you have to go to a funeral home and watch how the body of your loved one doesn't move. Watch how they don't breathe. Watch how they don't respond when you say their name. That's death. It's the opposite of life. Who would we require a scientific ontological understanding of the state of death? It's just like they're dead. You're making it harder than you need to. Notes. Okay? Many people simply believe death is, quote, well, that person is gone. I don't know what else to say about it, unquote. Well, that person is gone? People say that when their spouse goes to the grocery store. Where's that person you live with? Well, that person is gone. They're gone. Yeah, she went to the grocery store. They're dead. They're dead. But these Christians don't believe they're really dead, because you probe them with one question and you realize they think they're up in heaven, looking down on the proceedings, wondering why so-and-so didn't come. Why didn't George come to my funeral? Oh, I knew. What a lousy bastard. Why aren't all my kids here? Oh, how can you not think your loved one is alive in heaven and not be tempted to think that they're having problems, that they're not happy with the way things are going, that they don't like the fact that a brother and sister are arguing over the will? They're up there wringing their hands. That's what people have to think in the back of their minds. Probably unexpressed, but Notes can't believe that I'm saying what I'm saying. Are you really trying to say that whoever does not agree with your exact definitions of the workings of the human will, the being of Christ, and the state of death, then those people are all unbelievers? It's that precise and cut and dry. For one thing, and I'm going to get into this when I read my answer. Oh, you're going to love this, as I continually tell you. It has nothing to do with agreeing with me. An exact definition is not required when you're staring it in the face. You're staring death in the face at the funeral home. A 2-year-old says, "Mommy's dead." "Yes, son, but do you have an exact understanding of death?" Can you speak to the scientific ontological understandings? See, a two-year-old knows what a death is. Why are we bringing these other complexities into simple topics? Free will. You don't have to know exactly what it is. All you have to know, and Notes admitted it, is that if somebody tries to establish their own righteousness, they don't have to believe in free will. Technically, it's de facto. It's de facto belief in free will. You can't say that you're establishing your own righteousness and not believe that you're independent of God, which is a definition of free will. But you don't have to know the definition. You don't have to know the definition of a narcissist to be one. You don't have to know the definition of a codependent to be one. It's just ridiculous. Yes, he finishes off here. Yes, we must beware of false teachers and doctrines of demons. Yes, we must beware of errors and the destruction that is produced by them. We must beware of deceitful philosophy and vain tradition, as Paul warned. Amen. But where do we draw the line, so to speak? It's hard to imagine, Notes, that you watched my video that Rodney Paris put together and don't know the answer to that question. The lines are clear and simple. A five-year-old can understand. Maybe even, no, wait, I might have to say a two-year-old. Might have to say a two-year-old. A two-year-old can realize that he's helpless. A two-year-old can realize that his mommy's dead. And that's it. That's saving faith. But again, Christians don't actually believe any of these things. They don't believe they're helpless. They're establishing their own righteousness. They don't believe they die. They go on to the next world to wonder why their kids are arguing about the will. It's not difficult. Where do we draw the line, so to speak? How exact does everybody have to be when talking about these subjects? All right. Now, in the time I have left, which is not much, how did this happen? I'm just going to read my answer, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit, and you're going to see, even though I just elaborated during the question itself, my reply is, hello, Notes. The people you list at the beginning are not unbelievers or believers. I'm not making any kind of judgment as to what those people are, of course. Well, some of them I know, and I know they're believers. The people you list at the beginning, this is me talking to Notes, are not unbelievers or believers, depending on whether they agree with me or not. Agreeing or disagreeing with Martin Zender, for the love of God, has nothing to do with having or not having Aeonian life. You said it yourself, and this is what Notes said. Anyone seeking to establish his or her own righteousness is ignorant of the righteousness of God. And Paul plainly states in Romans 10 that those are unbelievers. Yeah, Paul's talking about the Jews in Romans 10. He says the lament of his heart, the desire of his heart is for them to be saved, their salvation. So as he's lamenting, the people he's lamenting concerning are not saved. Why? Because in seeking to establish their own righteousness, they miss the righteousness of God. I continue. I said, that's not me saying it. It's Paul. Paul's the one saying in Romans 10 that a seeking to establish one's own righteousness is an earmark of an unbeliever. Here's the important point right here. And this is me. I'm quoting myself. This is a great quote. If someone is trying to establish his own righteousness, then he is a de facto free will believer. That is, he believes in it, whether he realizes it or not, whether he can define it, whether he even knows that it's a philosophy. None of that matters. He's living out the truth of free will, trying to establish one's own righteousness. So he's a de facto free will believer. Whether he can define it or not, it doesn't matter. Then I talk about Aaron's idea, and that's all it is. That I love Aaron, he's a friend of mine, but this is the worst teaching he... Anyway, Aaron's idea that Christ did not pre-exist is false, but Aaron still believes that Jesus Christ died, so of course he's a believer. Same with the Trinity. This is my last paragraph. Same with the Trinity. Notes, it's pretty simple. Someone who believes that Jesus Christ went to heaven for 3 days is a de facto believer in either the Trinity or modalism. I'm not going to get into the difference between these two. Now, it doesn't matter whether they even know what these things are. Knowledge of definitions has nothing to do with anything. It's what a person believes. And it's pretty easy to tell what a person believes. Their persecution of you when you bring them the truth proves that they are unbelievers, according to Paul in the book of Philippians. Chapter 1. Read all of chapter 1, you'll find it. Please watch the audio/video linked to yesterday's show. It will clarify a lot of this for you. Notes, thanks for writing. So there is the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody has to understand the fine points of the philosophy, the human philosophy of human free will. It's not necessary. See, I'm not saying that people have to understand everything that they believe. It's their profession of their belief. It's that simple. Someone who believes that he or she establishes his or her own righteousness, they automatically are not believers. They're disqualified in both evangels. They don't even know that it's free will, let alone know how to define it. And as for the death of Christ, if they even mention a hint of that Jesus Christ went to heaven for 3 days, then they believe in the Trinity by default. They believe in modalism by default. They believe a false teaching by default. You find out what they believe. Now, never mind what they profess. Oh, they can profess all day long that they believe Jesus Christ saved them. They can profess all day long that they believe Jesus died. All you need to do, but that's a whitewashed wall. It's a Hollywood wall. It's feigned belief, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15. All you got to do is ask him one probing question and you find out. So, notes, don't make this more complicated than it is. And yes, we are supposed to know who believers are, unbelievers are. How could we not when Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? And how about this? Truth with error. Paul says, do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers. If we're not supposed to know who's a believer and who's an unbeliever, because somebody told us it's arrogant to say, to make a judgment. Who are you to make a judgment? Who's a believer and an unbeliever? Well, Paul says I should be able to, because I'm not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Paul says there's no union between belief and unbelief. So, obviously, I have to know who's a believer and who's not a believer. How do I know? I find out if they believe false teachings like the Trinity and free will. Do I ask them to explain it? Do they need to know what it means? No. They just need to say that they're working for their salvation. There's hundreds of ways you can tell somebody believes in free will. They're saved by their own faith. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. And it's easy to tell if somebody believes in the Trinity. They talk about Christ gallivanting among the stars for 3 days, going back into his body. Both of these things disqualify people from becoming members of the body of Christ, because membership in the body of Christ is a matter of belief, and belief is a matter of believing in truth. And the truth is that Christ died. The Trinity wrecks that. The truth is that he died for our sins. Free will wrecks that, because free will says, you take care of your own sins by believing in Jesus. Let's not complicate this. Satan's tactic is to muddy the waters. No, I will not allow the waters to be muddied on this topic. It's plain and simple. It is cut and dry. Yes, it is. And it is a matter of life and death.